Kiss and Giordano Bruno were treated when they advanced such heretical notions as the fact that the Earth rotates around the Sun. I think what we've seen here is a social lag effect regarding the fact that Mars is inhabited. You know, Alfred and I, in our original lecture, we were lecturing about this. There are really many reasons why there is this official denial regarding the fact that Mars is inhabited. In fact, the academic who briefed me in 1997-98, that was the last of the seven briefings that I got, he briefed me on the fact that my announcement that Mars is inhabited, that was going to occur at some time in the future, was going to engender substantial public fear, ridicule, and even hostility and contempt of me. And so part of the purpose, I didn't mention it, but part of the purpose...
And that's what I was referring to.
Part of the purpose of the briefing in 97-98 was to let me know that when I decided to move ahead in the future and make my announcement of the fact that Mars is inhabited, embodied in my paper, The Discovery of Life on Mars, and my later research monographs that I'm currently writing, and the public lectures and the public position that I'm taking, he was warning me that, look, when this happens in the future, you're going to be subject to withering contempt. So you just have to keep your chin up and know that ultimately, especially with the improvement of better photo resolution of your images and images by others, your case is proven to an historical and a scientific certainty. So I was really given not just data from my paper that I published in 2008, I was given the kind of, quantum coaching that the U.S. intelligence agencies have been engaging, at least the CIA has, for 4 years now. They were reaching out to me again as a person of interest and making sure that I would psychologically survive the contempt and ridicule that would be lumped on my, head when I published my paper. And I was aware of that by the time the paper was published, because I was having discussions with Alfred about the fact that I was recovering these memories of the briefings. Now let me just give you some of my ideas as to why I think my announcement of this simple discovery in natural science or natural history has been met with such negative responses by both university academics, science journalists, and figures in exopolitics and ufology. I think the first is probably groupthink. And so the criticisms of me and of the data, I think, are being made in defense of the establishment scientific view that life cannot and therefore must not exist on Mars. In other words, it's just the consensus wisdom that Mars is not inhabited.
Like the planet's not hollow.
Yeah, like they're focusing on just the fact that we've just been to the moon and not Mars, that Apollo has, put 12 human beings on the surface of the moon, but nobody's been to Mars. The group consensus is that not only nobody from Earth has been on Mars, but that life doesn't exist there because it's too cold or too barren or what have you. But in fact, my paper shows that Mars is inhabited because it has pictures of humanoids in it, and I didn't Photoshop them into the paper. Their original data from NASA proves that Mars is inhabited. All I did is I was observant, and I found that data, and I packaged it in a way that made a convincing argument of that fact. Okay, so groupthink clearly has had its impact in causing this negative reaction to my announcement of my discovery of life on Mars. Another factor I would cite would be brainwashing. If you look at a lot of the criticisms of me, like some of the blanket criticisms that were made in chat rooms anonymously, it seems to be actual government disinformation that was scripted to reinforce the public's brainwashing that Mars is not inhabited, and at the same time suppress my data to the contrary. So I think it's difficult to reason with brainwashed people, but unfortunately, all of us were brainwashed, even in our schooling, that Earth is the only inhabited planet in our solar system. So that's very difficult for people to overcome that brainwashing.
It's also the same with the Earth.
Yeah, so certainly if our good friend Dr. Brooks Agnew is successful in launching his expedition to the inner Earth, we might learn, for example, that, as many people have long alleged, that the Earth itself is hollow. But these kinds of ideas, that the Earth is hollow, that the Moon is hollow, and that Mars and possibly other planets in our solar system are inhabited, go against the grain of the brainwashing that the public has been subject to, and that was being reinforced in the government disinformation that was being directed at my discovery of life on Mars, both in science journalism that was being written and in anonymous blogging where I was simply being criticized personally in a groundless way by obviously some members of the general public, but also undoubtedly government disinformants who were just attacking my character.
They're paid to do that.
My discovery.
They're paid to do that.
Yeah, and some of it was so very superficially, obviously, government disinformation. The third factor I would cite as to why such a positive event in natural history and in our exploration of the solar system, which was the original purpose of NASA. You know, NASA's original mission, the first objective that it was charged with under the NASA Enabling Act of 1958 was to foster the expansion of human knowledge about space. So unfortunately, my doing so went against the grain of how NASA has actually been functioning, which is to study what's going on other planets, but then suppress their data. So brainwashing is certainly a large part of it. The third factor I would cite would be fear. The discovery of life on Mars evokes fear of different things, of the new. People are generally afraid of new things, what they might mean, the unknown, could this be a threat, and the strange. And certainly when there's the discovery of something new, anything new carries with it a possible threat. So I think that it was clear that some people were reacting, not hysterically, but certainly phobically, out of just mere fear about the notion that there could be life on the planet, which every 2 years, you know, Mars supplants Venus as the planet that comes closest to our planet. It's literally our celestial neighbor.
There's probably life on Venus, too.
Well, there may be. Certainly, we know that the surface temperature of Venus is about 600 degrees Fahrenheit. We do know that life forms exist near volcanic vents that are very hot in the ocean. So since life can survive at 600 degrees Fahrenheit, there might be primitive life forms on Venus, but there could even be, for all we know, advanced life forms that can survive at a higher temperature.
We always think about life forms being in a physical 3D form, but there's, you know, many different dimensions of life forms as well.
Right, and Venus also might be inhabited in other dimensions where the temperature isn't 600 degrees.
That's right.
It's 60 degrees Fahrenheit.
Parallel realities.
That's the case. So I do know this. I know that Mars is inhabited with indigenous life and also with human life from Earth, because we have personnel up there. The fourth factor I would cite is mere frustration. I mean, I was able to derive...